In Genesis 3:15, it says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his feet. This is one of the most important promises ever found in Scripture. And it came very early on. In the very beginning of the Bible, we see Adam and Eve living with God in the Garden of Eden. And though the garden is perfect, there is evil in it, in the form of a serpent, Satan. The evil in the garden existed in the form of the snake, who tricked Adam and Eve into disobeying God's command, and thus sin entered into mankind. It was a fatal mistake on the part of Adam and Eve, and one that would lead to the world in a downward spiral of sin. We can no longer have fellowship with the one who created us. We were totally separated from him. And so this we see one of God's first promises, putting into action the grand plan that would eventually save mankind later on. Once again. And here God promises someday someone would come to bash the head of the snake who brought evil into the world. But not before the snake is able to strike the person's heel. It's beautiful and it's kind of confusing. But it is a promise, an important promise, that left no further explanation in Scriptures. It was a promise that God would win, that mankind would be redeemed. But they didn't know how. Until Abraham came, and God promises Abraham that through his descendants, goodness and blessing will be brought back to the world. Salvation will be brought back to the world through his descendants. And to one of these descendants, through a man named Judah, God promises a great king will come from his line. And this king will be the one who destroys evil, who destroys Satan, and fulfills the promise of God made to Abraham and to Adam and Eve and to you and I. And yet, one by one, all of the kings of Israel and of Judah fell well short of redeeming us. As a matter of fact, it's the evil that destroys them. They couldn't fulfill the law that God had set up in order for that Messiah. That Messiah had to fulfill the law and be perfect, and none could do that. The nations were scattered. Israel was almost nothing anymore. It was scattered to the four winds. There was just a remnant left. The temple had been destroyed. The nation had been destroyed. There seemed to be little hope that there would be a king rise. The Old Testament ends, and still no king came as promised. Since the first promise in Genesis 3:15, I believe that every mother and every father, every time they had a son, they would look and they'd say, Lord, is he the one? And this went on for centuries. And every time it was no. It was a promise that they rested their hopes and their troubles, that he would lead to salvation. Every time the nation of Israel was in trouble, they called to God for a deliverer. Well, he would send a man, but he wouldn't send the king. And so they had been waiting so long, for centuries. You know what? You can almost hear them echoing this song that we're about to sing through the hallways of time. O come, Emmanuel. And so we sing together, O come, Emmanuel.
Number 66.
Have you ever anticipated something only to find that when it arrived it was nothing like you expected? I'll never forget there was one day my mom and dad decided they told us they had something special for us, and it was at Kmart. And we were just little boys, you know, and we thought toys. And we got ourselves so excited. Now you stay in the car here while we go get it and bring it back to you. Okay, we were so excited. And when they got back, it was a good gift. It was a complete encyclopedia of all the presidents. I mean, it was good, and I eventually read it, but boy, we were a little disappointed. Maybe as a kid, you're expecting a BB gun for Christmas, but instead you got unwrapped pajamas, socks. Maybe you felt let down. Well, when we unwrap the story of Jesus' birth, it isn't what you might expect, but it certainly isn't a letdown. For 400 years before Jesus' birth, God was silent. He spoke no prophetic words, psalms, or encouragement to his people. But then one day he did. He appeared and made a fairly significant announcement. World-changing announcement. And what was that message that would compel God to break his silence after 400 years to these people? Well, it began with an old barren couple, couldn't have kids, Zechariah, a priest, and his wife Elizabeth. They tried unsuccessfully to have a baby. And then one day an angel appeared to Zechariah and told him to get ready for a son. And he and Elizabeth would name their son John. This boy would bring his parents joy. He would be great in God's sight, and he would prepare the way for this Messiah that had been long promised. And that boy would be John the Baptist, proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah. Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, was, of course, met with skepticism from Mary when he delivered the second announcement. She was going to have a baby. The problem was, there's no way she could have had a baby. She was a virgin. "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" said Mary. And Gabriel explained the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, would overshadow her, and that holy thing which was born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And she would call his name Jesus. Now that's a life-changing event. That is an announcement. Mary accepted the angel's words by faith, affirmed her willingness to serve God, and pondered the birth of Jesus. So as we read Luke's account of these incredible events, you can imagine the full range of emotion that Mary was experiencing. And Joseph, her fiancé as well. Mary demonstrates this in the story of her immaculate conception, that while she might have been the least likely candidate for the mother God binds himself to humanity through, he does it so there can be no mistake that his hand is directing it. This is not something that happens every day. Matter of fact, it's not happened ever. And so we know God used Mary and did this on purpose so that we would know today that this indeed was the Messiah that was promised in Genesis 3:15. God makes the impossible possible. Conception with a barren Elizabeth and a virgin Mary. God's miracle announcements are only the beginning of this incredible story, orchestrated by God. He was no ordinary child. He would change everything. Everything in Mary and Joseph's life. And guess what? He would change everything for us all also.
In your womb and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus.
How can this be, since I've been with no man?
The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And the Holy Offspring shall be called the Son of God.
Come, a baby changes everything.
It will be done to me according to your.
for centuries, dating all the way back to Genesis 3:15, they would point to a Savior who would deliver the world from the bondage of sin and establish God's kingdom on earth. As a matter of fact, every time they had a problem, an enemy, they would call God and they would say, "Bring the Messiah, he can save us." And at this particular point in time in history, they were under the bondage of the Roman Empire. And there were people who were going, "We need you to send a Messiah, a king, someone who would overthrow us from the yoke of the Romans." They were a little short-sighted about what Jesus was going to do for them. You can imagine. Then when the announcement came that there was a baby born and he was the Messiah, they looked at that baby and they said, this is not a king. They were looking for God to supplant someone down. They weren't looking for a little baby. Not one born to a young, poor, no-named woman, young lady. And surely this could not be the Savior that the prophet spoke of. I mean, they were from Nazareth. He was born in a manger. They didn't have anything. And he was a baby. They had traveled to a little town of Bethlehem for the mandatory census. You had to go back to your hometown. She was very pregnant and riding on a donkey on the way there. And they got there. The town was full. They knocked on doors trying to find a place to sleep, and there was no place. Finally, they were told that there was a place in a manger, a crib, a place for animals. And they laid the they had the baby there that night. Emmanuel was born as a newborn baby that night, destined to save the world from their sins. That's your sins, and that's my sins. And after all these centuries of mothers and fathers and hoping and praying for their child to be the one, that Messiah, the prophesied one king who would come and save the entire world, Mary and Joseph were holding the Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Almighty God, in their arms. Imagine being responsible for the taking care of the salvation of the world. This is not a normal child. And this is a night that would be remembered, well, even today. Let's sing together, "What Child Is This?"
Number 81.
What child is this? And poor.
I don't know about you, but when I've waited for something so long and it finally appears, I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to be happy, as we all should be happy that Christ did come to this earth. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at the shepherds and said to them, "Glory to God." But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's all stand together and let's celebrate in song the birth of the long-awaited Messiah. Hark, the herald angels sing.
Number 70.
Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky.
Their hearts sing holy, the thorn to save the world from sin. For in God and I is glory, out of angels and glory, amen, amen. Glory to God and I is peace on earth and goodwill to men. Heavenly angels announce his arrival in the little town of Bethlehem. Hallelujah, the Lord sing holy, he was born to save the world from sin. Glory to God and I is glory, out of angels and glory, amen.
Yes, there was reason to celebrate. The Messiah had come after so many centuries, after so many moms and dads had looked at a child hoping and praying that their child would be the salvation of the world. And here he was. The angels declared it, the wise men came and confirmed it, and God himself made it happen. And so, yes, they were excited. But it's more than just a story of a baby being born. That baby grew up, and that baby lived. Isaiah 53 talks about his life very distinctly. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as we hid it were our faces from him, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and our stripes by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent. And so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. And when you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, and he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. That's what he came to do. He was born to die for us. That was the plan all along. He lived a perfect and sinless life. He grew up not deserving the penalty of sin that we all carry. And so what did he do? He gave himself as a ransom for us. He came and he took our afflictions, bruised and battered. Was he? and he came to die in our place. Once again, if this was the end of the story, it'd be hard-pressed to say that it was any different than anyone else's story. We were born and we died. But 3 days after he passed from this life, he rose again. He made sure the final emphasis to let us know that there's no doubt that he was different than everyone else, that he had done what no one else could do, and that is die on the cross of Calvary. Die in our place. And then 40 days after that, he was carried back to be with his Father physically. And there he awaits today for that moment in time when it's just right, when we least expect it, he's going to come back for us. He promised. So you see, the story of Christmas is much more than just about his birth. But his birth was something so special because the word Emmanuel literally means God with us. You know, from his first heartbeat as a newborn baby to his final heartbeat on the cross, he lived for us and he died for us.
Thank you.
Father, we come to you today. We're celebrating your birth, but there's so much more. Because you came to this earth in the form of babies, we have now the hope of eternal life. And you have declared to us that if you believe, if we believe and trust in you, that we can be once again with you in heaven, having eternal fellowship with you, just like it was before. So, Lord, be with us today. And for those here that are moved by the Christmas story, those here today who might not have ever accepted you as Savior, may this be the greatest Christmas gift you ever receive. And for those of us who have accepted your gift, may we be in constant reminder about how special this gift that you have given us is. Lord, be with us. Guide us and direct us and forgive us. For your name we pray. Amen. Would you all stand? We're going to take just a few moments and give you an opportunity to respond to this wonderful message and this wonderful story that has been given. I want us to close our eyes and I want us to focus upon what is truly real here. The reality that he did come. The reality that he lived a perfect life, did things that we could not do. And then he sacrificed himself on a cross of Calvary for us. Oh, what love he must have for us, because I can't even imagine. We come today in a celebration of what you've done. And Lord, if there's one here today that needs to make a decision, let them come now and make that decision for you. Dismisses. So let's sing together a Hallelujah Christmas.